Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here once again, joining you by podcast and radio program on 91.5 FM and at our website at ourlighthouse.net. We hope that if you missed the program, you can always go back and catch it on the website. And once again, it's always available for you there. So jump in, and we would love to have you join us each and every day of the week, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. on the air or with the podcast. So I always have a guest with me doing the program. Today it's my wife, Lisa Radlin. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Nice. So we're hoping to encourage each and every one of you out there in the Word today. And we have a topic that I actually enjoy when I saw it from you, because it's one of the scriptures that God gave me as part of my vision way back in the day when I first got saved. But what is the topic that you're bringing with us today?
The heavenly vision.
The heavenly vision.
Yes, I
so
got
what
inspired.
What is that all about?
Well, I got inspired through Acts chapter 26, and I can read it right now, verses 12 through 19, and that'll explain what the heavenly vision is.
All right, let's do it.
It says, this is Paul talking. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light of heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and what you have seen in me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me in faith. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision."
Nice.
So, see, this is the heavenly vision.
Okay, so
to open the eyes of the eyes and turn people from darkness to light, to reach out and share the gospel.
Nice.
To pull them from the power of Satan, and so they can receive the truth, and the truth will set them free.
You always love, in some translations, it says there's an inheritance that is available for those of us who are in the Lord, that God has an inheritance for us. And this is actually a scripture that God spoke to me early on in my walk with Him. And He said, "You know what? You were a heavy metal singer. You were a partier. You were out there among the Gentiles doing your Gentile stuff, which is just, you know, being worldly. And Jesus appeared to me. And He made Himself real to me, and He makes Himself real to everybody at some point in their life that has given, if you've given your life to Jesus, He has made Himself real to you at some point, and He has opened your eyes." And I love it, because I have a vision with God's Rock Ministries, and we go and we try to minister to people that are into rock music and stuff, because I feel like in this scripture, God said to me that I want to send you, I've delivered you from the heavy metal scene, from the party scene, the drugs and the alcohol. I delivered you from all of that. But now I'm going to send you back into that community. Just like the scripture says, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You know, and there's nothing darker than the heavy metal community. It's rooted in Satanism. It's rooted in all of this demonic garbage and rebellion and anger, and everybody wants to, you know, mosh and thrash and just pound the daylights out of each other. But it's all that's happening under the power of Satan. You know, it is rebellion, and Satan is involved in all of that. But God wants to turn us from that darkness to light. And he wants to turn us from the power of Satan to God so that first we can receive forgiveness of our sins, okay? Because let's face it, everybody has a sin problem.
Right, for
sure. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he wants us to find a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And that's, you know, a whole different game. That's Jesus. We're sanctified through him. He wants us to find our place in him, right?
Amen. And you can see actually later on in verse 28, King Agrippa actually says to Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." I guess when he was sharing his testimony of what happened to him, it was like, wow. Hearing that makes me want to almost change my life.
Yeah, sure.
And so we can see through Paul's experience that having an encounter with Jesus changes everything. I mean, he was totally transformed from the type of person that he was to a radical Christian and radically saved for the Lord. So when we give our lives to the Lord, everything will be transformed. I mean, you'll want to be a better person and to do things that are pleasing to the Lord. And it's a life-changing moment where you're all in. It's
yeah.
Like, listen, when you have a life-changing moment when you're all in, it's similar to when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. You never will want to return to the lifestyle that you once were in. I mean, a butterfly can fly around, and why would it want to go back to crawling on the ground and just...
on its belly,
exactly,
right?
And back to that. And in Romans 2:4, it says, "The goodness of God leads men to repentance," or leads to repentance. So in Christ, we have real hope.
Yeah, it's really good.
And the definition of hope is a feeling of expectation, a desire for certain things to happen, and a feeling of trust. So we have the hope of the promise, and that hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love that. So what I'm really kind of hearing you say is that there is a heavenly vision that God has for us, and that is that we would have an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, Paul's encounter is going to be different than your encounter that you had with Jesus. You were raised in the church, but you had encounters with the Lord. You've had moments where God has reached out and you've had time with him and things like that. But then there's people that were like me, a little crazier, living in the world, blinded, really. I mean, I had no clue about spiritual things when I was living my earthly life without Jesus. I was just doing what the world did. I was following people, leading people astray, just like I was being led astray, and we were all just going, you know, it's like the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says if the blind's leading the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. Well, I've fallen in the ditch because I was walking in darkness, and I always look at it this way. If you ever get up in the middle of the night or anything, maybe to use the bathroom, and it's dark, and you know your way around in the dark in your own home. But if somebody moves something in the way and puts something where it doesn't belong and you're walking in the dark, you don't see it and you're going to trip and you're going to fall. And that's what it's like walking in life when you're walking in darkness. The enemy can set traps for you and you won't see them in your life. And one of the traps that I fell into was addiction. God had to deliver me from my previous life of addiction and translated me into the kingdom of his son by the blood of Jesus. You see, you've got to actually be under the blood. You know, under the blood of Jesus means that you have accepted the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. You have said, "Jesus, I need you to help me to be clean from sin." And Jesus does that. That's what he does. That's his thing, is he comes in and he changes the game and he washes us and cleanses us and makes us pure and holy and perfect before God. And now we can have an encounter through him with the Father. You see, Jesus opens the door for us to enter into the heavenly realm and to have a relationship with God. So the heavenly vision is that not only would you experience finding Jesus in your life, but through Jesus, you would gain access to the Father, and you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then begin to walk a power-filled life of transforming other people the same way that you were, and sharing with them the truth of the gospel. That's what that real hope is that you're talking about. In Christ, we can have hope that through Him, we can gain access to God and actually be filled with the power to resist sin and to walk free in this world.
Yes, because when we have a heavenly vision, we have a change of mindset or a point of view, and we see things differently. And we see people differently. We see them as God's treasure and that they're valuable. And we want a desire for others that His love pours out towards them. It's like a shift change. When we have a real encounter, we become unstoppable. We have more boldness to share Jesus, and we have courage. Courage is the choice or a willingness to confront and pursue goals or a purpose to despite risk of fear. It doesn't matter how afraid you are. You'll step out because you know that God's behind you, and when God's for you, who can be against you?
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
So when I think about courage, I'm reminded of one of my favorite movies growing up. Let me give you a hint. Somewhere over the rainbow, right. Way up high.
Sure.
Do you remember that
Wizard
movie?
Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Yeah. That was your favorite movie.
That was my
I'm
favorite
gonna know
movie.
It.
And so
everything.
Wizard of Oz. I collected all these things.
Yeah.
And I remember how the lion was so fearful. He was afraid of his own shadow. He was afraid of Dorothy's dog Toto because he didn't realize who he was. The king of the forest. The
right.
king of the forest.
Right.
He needed courage, and he needed brave.
Courage-y.
Yeah, he needed courageous. He needed to be courageous. He needed to be brave.
You're right.
And so because of that, it reminds me of that song that You Make Me Brave.
Yeah.
It's the ocean song.
Yeah.
It's like, you make me brave.
That is a great song.
You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the promises you make. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. A Savior is a rescuer, a deliverer, a redeemer. So the love of God changes us, and it gives us compassion for others. And when you have compassion for others, you have the courage to step out and reach out with the love of Jesus. And if you haven't had a real encounter with the Lord, I mean, for me, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 3 years old. Like my mom,
right.
I was always brought up in a Christian home. And
I was 21.
My dad wasn't really a follower, but my mom wasn't. So she, you know, would take me to church, and I went to Sunday school. I went on mission trips. I was involved in the youth group. I always, as far as I can remember, you know, had given my heart to the Lord, but I didn't really have an encounter with Him. I was kind of like falling on my mom's,
riding her faith.
Yeah, basically,
you know?
Like a little duck.
We can
duck.
Do that in life, you
like
know?
A
Let's
baby
talk
duck.
About that for a second, because, you know, a lot of times we have kids that are raised in the church, they're raised in the Lord, and then they go away to college, and they fall into world religions classes, and they start to question the things that their parents told them, and then the enemy tries to sneak in the back door, change their thinking. And a lot of times they get over there, and I can relate to this because, like I told you, I was the party guy. You know, younger college-age kids will get over into college, and they start partying, and they start doing things that they've never done before, and experiencing the so-called fun side of sin, not recognizing the trap mm-hmm. that they're walking in darkness, and that they had the light, but somebody did, at some point, turned the light off, you know, and the enemy tricked them into believing some things. But what happens is we get into those scenarios, and now we're at a quandary, you know, because we've been raised to believe that these things are bad. And then we actually look at those things and we enjoy them and we want to do them. So what happens is kids go away to college and they actually change their belief system instead of changing their behavior. So, you know, they know they're misbehaving according to the Bible, but yet they want to keep doing it. So they choose not to believe in God, not to believe in the Bible. Therefore, they don't have to feel guilty.
They don't have to feel conviction of the Holy
Spirit. They don't have to feel condemned
by
their behavior
because
I don't believe that anymore.
Right.
So now I can do whatever I want. And that's what the foundation of atheism is. That's what the foundation of false religions are. It's people creating the ability to do what they want without feeling the conviction, really, as a believer, you should be convicted about it, not condemned, because the Bible says there is no
condemnation.
Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But what's happening is the enemy's trying to steal Christ out of you, and he's trying to water your faith down to get you to believe contrary to what you've been taught, because a lot of kids haven't come up with their own faith yet. And some of you may be out there and you're still trying to come up with faith, and you're in one side and you're out on the other side. You know, you've got to reach a place where you got to make a decision. You got to choose, I'm going to live my life for God, or I'm going to live my life for the world. You know, you can't do both.
Yes.
The Bible calls it being lukewarm, riding the fence, you know, and it says that God's not looking. He'd rather you be in the world than to be trying to be in both and not doing what it is that he's wanting to see you do, because it's so frustrating for God. He has all these blessings and all these things that he has vision for your life, and he wants to see you become everything that you could be in the world, and you're living and choosing to be so much less than what his desires are for you. And that's where, you know, God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved, so that you could experience true life and true salvation. That is what the heavenly vision of God is, that you would be everything that he wants you and has for you to be in your life. And that's only going to happen when you make a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ and to step into that. And that's where that, you know, my trust is without borders in the ocean song comes in. Are you going to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path? Or are you going to just live your life for the world and then hope it all works out?
And for years, like, I was a believer and I was a Christian, and there might be several people out there too that you've received Jesus, you go to church, you know, you go through the motions, but you don't have a relationship. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference in just praying a prayer and receiving Jesus and going to church and things like that to actually having a relationship. If me and my husband never had conversation, if I just didn't talk to him and just let him sit on a shelf for 2 weeks and
right.
then, you know, dust him off Is every once
possible?
In a while.
Is that possible?
You might want me not to talk to you, but it's not happening, buddy.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
No, but honestly, like, how can you have a relationship with someone that you never speak to or
right.
spend time with?
Yeah.
I mean, if he just sits in a corner and I don't speak with him for 2 weeks or a month or whatever, I'm not going to have much of a relationship.
Nope,
and that's how it was. Like, I would leave my Bible just sitting on a shelf, and I would still go to church on Sunday. I would still go praise the Lord and do praise and worship, and I'd pray with my kids every night, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
It wasn't a really good relationship. And I remember when I was a kid, and my mom would take us, me and my friend, to the beach, and we'd start playing in the ocean. We're riding the waves. We're having a great old time. And we'd have to look out and see where the umbrella was, where my mom was sitting. But we would just be so involved in playing in the waves and stuff. We would start drifting and drifting and drifting. And then finally we would look and like, where'd the umbrella go? Where'd it
yeah.
go? And we drifted away and didn't even realize we were drifting. And I think that's how it is sometimes as
You're
a believer.
Two streets down the beach and all the lifeguards are looking for you guys. Your
yeah,
mom can't find you.
Right, exactly. But
I've seen it at the beach all the time. It
yeah,
happens
so
to people.
I'd have to walk several streets back just to get back to where I was.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it can be as a believer in Christ.
Sure.
If you're not staying rooted in the Word of God, and if you're not really having a relationship with him, it's easier for the world to get you into their beliefs. And you start thinking of, oh, well, that actually sounds like that might be right. And you start...
Sure.
falling for the lies of the enemy, and instead of staying rooted in the Word and knowing the truth, you start thinking, well, maybe this is true. Well, I don't know if I believe this. And you
right.
kind of drift away. But in 2020, I had some hard circumstances in my life, and it caused me to press in deeper with the Lord. And I literally had an encounter with him. And now I'm so hungry for the Word of God. Like, I want to get in my Bible, and like, I don't want to watch TV. Like, sometimes, you know, my husband or sometimes you or my daughter will like, let's go watch a movie. And I'm just like, I want to watch a movie, but I really just want to read the Bible. But I want to spend
right.
time with my family, but I just want to, you know, I feel
sure.
torn because I just enjoy it so much. And I'm just so hungry. And I feel like I've wasted so many opportunities as a process server.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm out serving papers, it's like I'm meeting people at the door and they're at their worst. They're getting served with a divorce paper. They're getting served with eviction notice. They're at rock bottom. them and what opportunities I've missed from not sharing the love of Jesus with them, but not anymore.
Yeah.
Now I go to that door on a mission. It's like, listen, I am here to serve them a paper, but I'm not going to miss an opportunity to pray for that person, to show them the love of God.
Yeah.
And it's been a great experience, and it's exciting now for me.
Well, as a surfer, I can kind of relate real heavily on the drifting part. You know, there's a sweet spot when you're out in the waves and you find a good little break on the wave, but there's a drift and you have to continually paddle to fight against the drift. You have to work your way and maintain yourself in that spot where that wave is breaking perfectly. And if you just stop resisting the drift, if you just let yourself go and do whatever, you'll drift down like you said. But if you pay attention and you set a landmark and you set that relationship with the Lord and you say, I'm going to stay right here with the Lord, and whatever it takes, I'm going to put forth the effort to make myself, you know, stay in that spot. You can do that. And I see, though, the world is causing people to drift away because there's just a natural drift in the waves of life as they're hitting you and they're crashing on the shore of life for you. There's a bend towards drifting. And I think we just have to be really careful about that. Everybody who's out there listening, if we just really wanted to pull in, the vision of God for you is that you wouldn't drift away, that you wouldn't be stolen away by the enemy. It's that parable of the sower moment, that you would be fully grounded in God and a relationship with Him unlike any you've ever had before in your life. And I believe that is possible. I believe that's God's plan for you, is that you and Him would be like best friends. And you know what? You would be able to worship and participate in a life that is just full of God and just powerful, seeing heaven opened. And I think that that is the true vision that God has for us. That's the heavenly vision. So we're going to take a quick break real quick, and we'll come back, talk more about this heavenly vision.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for discipleship encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website at ourlighthouse.net or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries.
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful.
What's going on, everybody? Pastor Kevin here with God's Rock. Just wanted to let you know that Friday the 13th, we're going to be in Cocoa Village. We're bringing in hard rock band The Protest with special guest Marshall Huffman. Friday, October the 13th. That's right, Friday the 13th. We're going to rock the hell out of you at the Community Activity Center located at 215 Oak Street in Cocoa, Florida, right in the traffic circle there at Cocoa Village. Come on down. It's free admission. Showtime is 7 p.m. You don't want to miss The Protest. For more information, go to 321-749-7234 or look us up at godsrock.life. That's godsrock.life. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, it's Pastor Kevin Radlin and my wife Lisa Radlin here, and we've been talking to you today about heavenly vision. And you know what? We just heard a spot on the ads for a concert that we're going to be doing with The Protest, and that's going to be down in Cocoa Village. And I really think that ties into this. God has a heavenly vision for us, and I believe that for me, it's to reach into that community that's fallen into darkness and the enemy's keeping them blinded. And I think that God wants us to make a shift and to see people able to walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with him. And the blood of his son, Jesus, will cleanse us from all of our sins. So
yes,
and our lives should be different.
This is a free concert, and it's not free for us. We're paying to bring these people in, but we want you to bring unsaved people that like rock music, because this is basically a bait. We're trying to catch people, and we're trying to reel them in, but this is the type of bait that we're putting out there, is by putting this free concert out here so that you can bring your friends, and then we can share the gospel and show them that you can actually have fun and still play heavy metal music and worship God, and it's just a really great thing. So definitely bring some friends out.
Yeah, let's close with Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You see, we need to relinquish the control of our lives over to God, make that shift in our lives, bring his priorities into play, which would be to reach the lost, those in the darkness of the world, and to bring the light so that they can receive what? That inheritance that you were talking about that is part of the heavenly vision.
Yeah, because people are broken and they need an encounter with Jesus. And we can bring an encounter with Jesus to others by being the light in a dark world, by bringing hope to the hopelessness.
Yeah,
and that's so what we're trying to do, is we're trying to shed the light of Jesus by bringing in this concert and just by going around and sharing the gospel with people. And we can do this every day, guys. It doesn't matter where you are. You
could
be in line at a Chick-fil-A where there's people. That's
right.
The Lord's chicken. You could be in line and just start talking to someone, and next thing you know, you're like leading them to the Lord or praying for them. It's just amazing. It's a good life to live.
You mean non-Christians eat Chick-fil-A?
Yes. Can you believe that?
No way.
The Lord's chicken.
Hey guys, go support the Lord's chicken. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marilyn, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.